Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton.
Hey guys, welcome to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. This is your host, Thomas, and I am joined by two incredible, ridiculously good friends, good men, the two future general managers of the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers, David and Colton. How's it going, guys?
Going pretty good, Thomas. We're here draft day eve. Eve for us, but eve for the listeners, and I could not be more excited. I won't speak for Colton. We know that Vikings fans don't get excited about weird things, and so maybe he doesn't care about the draft.
You're right. I have more hope and more excitement on draft day eve than I do any other week of the year. There's a chance, baby. And that's all we need. Let's go!
There's a chance. I know for a lot of NFL fans, including us, the moment we find out that our team isn't in the playoffs or we get beat in the playoffs, this is the event we look forward to. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be awesome. We're just coming out of a year where we were in the pandemic, so hopefully we can get back to normal. And yeah, I'm super pumped as well.
I don't know about you guys, but I literally watch every single pick of the draft. And it's just, well, you know, once you get late in day three and whatnot, then they go pretty quick and you might miss a couple of them. But I just remember, so last year I got married and everything, and my wife was with me when I was watching the draft, and she I don't think she understood. She was like, hey, you know, let's go, you know, it's Saturday, it's nice, it's sunny outside, like, let's go to the park or something. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Right now. Like, I live for this crap.
And did she understand?
Still working on it, but we'll get there.
Right. Well, Bethany still doesn't understand, so probably not going to happen. But you know, I'm basing that just completely off of now. This 3 years of marriage, I got it. That it's never gonna change. This is when it's all the same from here on out. I'm with you, Colton. Although we were talking about before the podcast, and I know 100% that you threw that in my face because unfortunately my work duties.
I didn't think about that.
You know, most people like to watch the first round. This year I'm going to be the exact opposite. I'm going to watch the second through seventh. I am the biggest fan of the second through the seventh.
Phones exist, and I'm sure you have like the ESPN app. If not, I'll give you my ESPN Plus login. You can watch it on.
I do have ESPN Plus.
There you go.
The problem is, see, I'm a teacher chaperoning a dance, and so there's not really the opportunity to just put my phone up and watch it. I am hoping this my school does not allow phones for students, and so it'd be a little weird if the chaperone was on the phone the entire time. But I'm hoping that I can sneak it in every 10 minutes or so because, you know, that's all. I mean, I'm assuming I'm staying more than up to date if I pull it out every 10 minutes in the first round.
Don't you just teach, like, what grade do you teach?
Six through eight.
And you're telling me that you're worried about some shenanigans that might go on at some sixth through eighth grade dance?
Colton.
Over the first round of the NFL draft?
No, you're misunderstanding.
You're misunderstanding
something. This is job obligations. I would sneak and hide in a closet while they were doing this because I don't care about the shenanigans. I care about the draft. But my employer may not feel the same way about that. And so,
We were talking about this just before we started this. Do you even remember a middle school dance? I know you.
I do remember a middle school dance, mostly because
you're lying.
No. I'm telling you the honest truth. I went to the Valentine's Day dance in eighth grade, and I remember completely because I was going to break up with the girl that I was dating at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't because the dance was the next day, and so then I broke up with her the day after the dance, like a classy guy. I was a gentleman.
I totally remember that, actually. Now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, see, so even you remember that dance.
No, I remember the detail about you and the drama.
I know, the dance that you probably didn't even go to. You remember now. See, it's etched in the memory forever.
Well, listeners, welcome to the... Thanks for listening to the Colton, David, and Thomas Memories Podcast.
The life recap.
Life recap podcast.
It's important to give our viewers, you know, they need to know.
They want to know where they came from. So now all of our female listeners can absolutely hate me because of the mistake I made in junior high of, you know, being not the nicest to the girl that I was no longer interested in dating.
Let's not even get into the other mistakes.
We're not going to talk about mistakes. What other mistakes? I've never made another mistake. Now let's talk about football.
We can talk about mistakes here. No. About the San Francisco 49ers trading up to number 3. Is that a mistake?
No.
Way to get us back on track.
I don't know.
What about the Dolphins drafting Tua last year? Was that a mistake? We don't know.
Well, yeah, he's not going to be as good as Justin Herbert. You were right about that.
Well, you know, as the host of the podcast that's supposed to keep us on track, listeners, if there are any of you guys still out there listening to us, we appreciate you enduring that with us. But guys, we have a podcast to record. We have some content to get into. Listeners, as we approach the eve of the draft, for you guys, it would be the eve of the draft. We haven't talked about a position group yet, which is the running back position. So we were going to go into that quickly, discuss our top 5 running backs of this year's draft. And then we'll have a special segment, which David will introduce a little bit later in the program. So, guys, with that said, top 5 running backs. Who's your number 5? First of all, overall thoughts of this class of running backs, and then let's get into number 5.
This is some premium. Let's get ready to football content here. I don't know if I misunderstood in the planning process. Are we doing top 5 running backs? Because I don't got a full top 5.
Let's just do top 3.
I thought we were just going to kind of discuss the breakdown the top. Yeah, 3. Have a top 5.
You know what?
But it's not fully my thoughts need to percolate.
Let's just jump into it here. Okay?
Let's just jump into this running back class.
Buffalo running back Jared Patterson.
Sucks.
He's a wild card for me. You don't just score 8 rushing touchdowns. No one just scores 8 rushing touchdowns in a game unless they're playing a really terrible defense. So I'm glad that Jarrett Patterson was able to shred against Kent State. But I do think that's cool. I will be definitely looking at him as a sleeper in some fantasy leagues and whatnot. But, you know, he's just a wild card for me. Everybody else knows that Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, and help me here, the one from
Javonte Williams,
yeah, Michael Javonte Carter, Williams,
and Michael Carter, both in North Carolina,
are the top 3 backs in this year's draft. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're right.
You're right.
Hands down. Okay.
There we go. But everyone just kind of seems to debate on the order of that, you know? Najee Harris is really explosive, has some crazy plays, but he also has the most used out of everyone, you know. Travis Etienne, you know, super shifty, super explosive, was dominant for Clemson. Same thing, has some use. Javonte Williams is a great running back, but doesn't have as much tread on the tires as those other guys. And so, really, I think it just comes down to personal preference. We all know the running back position is being devaluated, you know, over the course of the years. But Is there any superstars? Is there any playmakers? You know, is there any Dalvin Cooks, Alvin Kamara's that you just can't pass up on in this year's draft, Davey?
I think so, to be honest. I think there's two tiers of these top three. I think there's tier one, and my number one, it's kind of not the most consensus thing, is I think Travis Etienne. Travis Etienne's a guy that I see can go to any team in the NFL, and he's going to be insane. He's extremely electric. He can go anywhere on the football field, breakaway angles. He can cut upfield. He's super elusive. But he also runs with some toughness. People don't give him some credit for the toughness that he runs with. There's some questions about him being able to be a workhorse, which makes no sense to me since he's been a workhorse for Clemson for 3 years. One of the most productive running backs in college football history. I really like that we have a guy that's this productive and this talented, but we see him continue to grow. And, you know, as a freshman, it was always his pass-catching ability that was his biggest weakness, and now that's one of his biggest strengths. And so I do see him as a Dalvin Cook type of guy. I think that's actually a great comparison. That's who I'd probably compare him to. It is Dalvin Cook, a guy that can get downfield, has breakaway speed, but can run with some toughness. Not the best pass blocker, but he's my number one guy.
Maybe I'm just ignorant here, but I feel like he's kind of small. I mean, not small like weight-wise, but isn't he a really small guy for a running back?
I'm looking up the official thing. I want to say, if I remember right, he's 5'10", 215.
5'10", 215?
5'10", 215. Like, that's not huge by any means, obviously, but like we've seen many guys have success at 5'10", especially with a 215-pound frame and with his type of elusiveness. And so if people could point out on film where that height problem comes to play, then maybe I would say something. Dalvin Cook is 5'10", though.
No, yeah, he's 5'10", yeah, 210. Dalvin, I just feel like
Aaron Jones 5'9".
Yeah. I just feel like watching Travis Etienne play, he just doesn't seem that big. Like, you know, there's running – like, you look at Najee Harris and it's like, whoa, that guy is big. Like, you feel like he can run over some people.
No, well, Travis, no one's claiming he's Najee Harris big. Okay. He is not Najee Harris.
I'm not saying that, but I just say when I watch him play, I see more like Tariq Cohen than I do Derrick Henry. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I don't see any Derrick Henry in him. Tariq Cohen is 5'6", 179 pounds.
Yeah, no.
So I'm just saying. I see where you're coming from for sure. Like, he's not a big bruiser. He's the guy that, quite honestly, if we didn't see him do it, I would probably be agreeing with you. I would probably be, you know, instead. The biggest difference between Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones is Aaron Jones has yet to prove that he can get 200 touches a season. He has not gone to that 200 crazy touch season like Dalvin Cook has. And so, like, I would definitely be comparing him not to Aaron Jones, because Aaron Jones does not have nearly the burst that he does. But I would be comparing him to, like, a rotational guy.
Alvin Kamara.
Like that. Like, yeah, like an Alvin Kamara, probably. Except for that we've seen him do that in college. And I don't see – you know, I definitely see him in film putting down that shoulder and using that weight.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely excited for him. I personally have Najee Harris as my number one guy. I've just seen him make, you know, I've seen Travis Etienne make many, many a crazy play, but just some of the stuff I've seen Najee Harris do, it's kind of like when we're talking about Tom Brady. It's like, I don't really like that. Does that make sense? I don't have anything against him. He's definitely the greatest of all time. But it's like, I just feel like I just can't root against him, even though I do. And Najee Harris, I mean, it's just, you know, it comes down to personal preference for me. But I feel like he just has a little bit more wow than Travis Etienne. I mean, they're both, you know, they're both wow. But I just feel like I would be much more comfortable with him toting the rock and grinding out those touches, kind of like, you know, like Josh Jacobs, but a lot more nimble and able in the passing game. So he's my number one for me, but it's definitely really close between him and Travis Etienne.
Just, Colton?
Yes.
When you said Tom Brady, you meant to say Thomas Rasmussen, right? Tom Rasmussen.
Yeah, same person, right?
Okay, yeah. I just making sure we're this podcast is a podcast of integrity.
Yeah.
And of truth. Awesome. Well, guys, what do you guys think of? Oh, go ahead, David. You were going to say something.
I was just going to comment real quick. Yeah. I do like Najee Harris too. I think they're a little bit of a 1A, 1B. The biggest, and there's some teams, like if I'm like putting my GM hat on, there's some teams where I probably for sure have Najee Harris over ETN.
Yeah. It's definitely a scheme thing, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think separates two of them in my mind is to me, Najee Harris is the guy. If you're going to get Najee Harris and you're going to have him be a superstar, you need not necessarily the Derrick Henry workload, but you need a team like that. You need a team like the Seahawks. You need a team like maybe what the Steelers are going to do going forward, not what they've done in the past, but going forward, a team like that that's going to commit to him, that's going to give him his touches. You know, he's not a guy, not that he can't, he isn't capable of making a play because he definitely is explosive with his weight. But he's that guy that you run down defenses, then all of a sudden he's just destroying it. And so I that's kind of where I think of it. I'm excited for Najee Harris, and I think where a lot of the people get super excited about him is it's almost like a Derrick Henry but can catch. And that's exciting because I don't know that we've really seen that. The closest thing's probably Le'Veon Bell, who was still down in the 220 range, 215 range when he was actually in the NFL. But to see a 230-pound guy with his type of explosiveness and his type of strength going out and catching the football, it's going to be fun. These two guys is my tier breaking. And then going to the third guy, I think this is where you may be going, Thomas. I don't want to take over, but Javonte Williams. I honestly am not sold on Javonte Williams. He is my third guy, but he's a huge tier break. To me, you go from these two guys are stars, and then you go Javonte Williams. I see him more as like a David Montgomery, a really solid, good running back. But if you're getting a really solid, good running back, you might as well just take a guy in the fifth round because you're just as likely to get that type of guy in the fifth round than the second round. And so that's where I kind of fall apart with Javonte Williams, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going because Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, we really haven't seen a running back duo from the same university since I think CJ Spiller, James Davis. I don't know if you guys remember those two guys coming out of Clemson, but
oh yeah,
I didn't. Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't I can't remember. Was it Ohio State?
Oh, you're right. There was a duo that came out of there, right? Like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, or something like that.
No, it was just like 2 or 3 years ago. My goodness, now I'm gonna have to look it up. Okay, anyways, keep going.
Yeah, I was just saying it's an interesting thing when you have two running backs that play at the same school, you know, entering in the NFL draft, and they're neck and neck for that three and four spot. But David, what's your thoughts about Michael Carter?
I don't like Michael Carter more than Javonte Williams. I would rather draft Michael Carter than Javonte Williams though, because I think he has a game that maybe translates more. If I'm going to take a running back that early, I want a guy that has the potential to be a star. And I don't know that I say Michael Carter's there, but I think Michael Carter has more of that it factor, a little bit more of that athleticism that has that potential where I don't know. I just don't see it from Javonte Williams. I just don't see that ceiling.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, Colton, you got that stat for us or that fact?
Not yet. Hold on.
No, you're good.
Thomas, I got to get your thoughts on the guy.
Yeah.
This is the last running back I have on my list to bring up. Chuba Hubbard. What do you think of Chuba Hubbard?
You know, he's a great – I'm glad you brought him up because I was actually just going to go – I was going to talk about him or Jamar Jefferson from Oregon State. But I'm glad you brought him up. Chuba Hubbard, I think he's a great – he was a great college running back to watch. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't know about him. I should have done my research on him. I do know that he was one of the best, you know, running backs in college football. I do know that he's more of a scheme guy, more of a system guy. And so, you know, I don't know if he's his downhill running. I don't know if he's a physical. I don't think he's as physical as I remember him to be when I watched him. But I think, you know, more of an outside zone system, can be explosive. From what I remember coming out of Oklahoma State system, he caught the ball pretty well and was a weapon and as a pass catcher. So I think he's a weapon for sure. But what are your guys' thoughts about Chuba Hubbard?
Yeah, he's interesting. Obviously, a tale of two seasons. For 2 seasons ago, ran for over 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns, had over 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns. But last year, did not look the same player on tape, wasn't the same player on the field, wasn't the same player statistically. I think I agree with you. To me, he reminds me a lot of Bryce Love. He's a guy that was super productive in college, extremely quick guy, or I guess fast guy, but I don't really see that quickness and that elusiveness to be able to translate that to the next level. He's more of like a straight line guy. And I don't know. I know you talked about his receiving ability. I think there's more there than what Oklahoma State used. But, I mean, a total in 3 years of 53 catches, 479 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Last year only had 8 receptions and 52 yards and a touchdown. It's just not there. These are the guys that you're worried about because he's not the pounder. He's your speed back. But it's hard to get a speed back on the field because if he can't pass block, which Chuba Hubbard can't, and if he can't catch good out and do some things in the receiving game, it's like, why? How is he getting on the field? And so he's an interesting prospect, maybe a little bit of a sleeper guy that you want to take, a potential guy, but I don't know, dude.
No, I totally agree. He's definitely a potential guy, definitely system guy, and yeah, tell two seasons. That's a perfect way to put it. Well, guys. David, you want to go ahead and introduce our next segment?
Yes. So we are going to do the NFL prop bets. We did this last season. It's going to be a little competition between the three of us. So this is what we'll do. I'll list the prop bet. We got all of our prop bets from FanDuel. I'll list the prop bet. I'll give the odds. The odds, the only reason I'm even giving the odds is for our listeners to see what bets they want to go do and to let you guys kind of know who's the favorite. Right. Okay. So the bets, the prop bets don't matter. The betting part of it, the odds really don't matter for what our competition is going to be. Each of us are going to pick our stake on the bet, and then we're going to see who has the most points next week for a water bet. And so that's how this is going to go down. Is that good for you guys?
That sounds good to me.
All right. So the first one, we are doing how many total in round one, how many total quarterbacks are there going to be picked? So on FanDuel, they have the over under at 5.5. So if you take the over, you're going to say it's 6 or more. If you take the under, it's going to be 5 or less. For those of us that don't know anything about betting, the favorite is the under by -650, and then the over has +430 odds. So what do you guys think? Over under 5.5 quarterbacks taken in the first round.
I'm going under. I'll jump in there. Head time with there. we've never seen. Well, I'm not gonna say never because I'm sure back in the day when they had 20 rounds, there was a quarter. Anyways, long story short, never seen more than 5 go in the first round. I do think there's gonna be 5 that go really, really, really early in this year's draft. However, these second tier guys that they've tried to hype up and say are going to sneak into the first round, not buying it. Under 5. There will be exactly 5 taken in the first round.
I'm going over. I think there's going to be 6.
Who's the 6, Thomas?
He
doesn't have to know. There just has to be 6. All right.
This has to be 6. That's it.
All right. Dave, so I agree completely with Colton. I think there's going to be 5 exactly. I'm going with the under. And so that's where I am putting my claim. So now, under running backs. Oh, no, sorry. Under wide receivers. Wide receivers. The over-under they have is
half receivers.
The over is the favorite at minus 350, and the under is plus 250.
I'm looking them up right now. Let me just
get going over. I got over on this one. I think there's going to be more than 4.5. I think it'll be close, maybe 5, maybe 6 if someone gets desperate. But I do think there's going to be more than 4.5.
All right, so you definitely got Jalen Waddle, Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, Rashad Bateman, and then you just need Terrace Marshall Jr. to go. Okay, I'm taking 5.
I'm going with 5, too. I'm going over.
Over.
You guys are chickens. I'm not chickens. When Colton hesitated, I went through some of these earlier today and was thinking about it. So when Colton hesitated, I knew I had to jump out in front. Because I figured that we'd all be taking the over. All right, so now total offensive linemen taken in round one. Total offensive linemen. The most exciting position.
Interior?
Offensive linemen. The all left five tackle, positions. The left guard, the center, the right all guard, right. And the right tackle. All of them.
Oh, my gosh.
Over, under, 6.5.
Okay.
The over's the favorite with minus 130, and then the under has 102. Okay.
I'm going under.
I got to count this out in my head. Hold on. We got Penei Sewell, then Rashawn Slater, Christian Darrisaw, Elijah Barrett Tucker. What is the under over?
6.5.
6.5? I can't even. Okay, Landon Dickerson. There's some tweeners.
Tevin Jenkins. Did you mention Tevin Jenkins?
I did. Tevin Jenkins and Dylan Raddins.
Did you mention Lee and eight?
And then you got to factor in the Creed Humphrey. I'm going over. There's so many.
Yeah,
I'm kind of
feeling like I maybe was on the wrong side of that, but I'm gonna stick to my guns here. So now on to corners. Over under 5. Over.
Over. No. I was still safe for the offensive line.
Nope. We have it on Cole's record.
Locked in over for the corners. The odds are 15.5. So
Under 5.
You actually the under is the favorite.
Yeah, who do we got here? We got Caleb Farley.
I'm going over. Lock in the over. Got Caleb Farley, Greg Newsome, you got Patrick Surtain,
JC Horn.
You got JC Horn. All as long as Farley's not completely messed up in the back, those four are locks. And so now I only have to get 2 of Eric Stokes, Asante Samuel. I don't know.
Who under, else baby!
I'm going over.
Under.
Go under.
They're going to take offensive linemen instead.
They're taking corners instead.
I'm going over as well. Well,
Thomas and I are almost guaranteed to tie at this point.
Now you have me thinking about it, because there is less depth at corner and there's more depth at offensive linemen. But – if you look at it statistically, the hit rates on corners, well, just deep defensive backs in general, but especially corners in the first round is trash. So you can get better upgrades on the market than you can at draft picks.
Yeah, but the market's packed. And so your points are packed. Your points.
Offensive lineman, baby. I'm going, under 5.5.
Okay. Total offensive players.
18. I counted it.
18.5.
Oh,
is odds. 18.5. Hey, and they're even odds at minus 112.
Dude, that is insane. I literally counted it when you were telling me about this. I was like, okay, who's going to go in the first round? I was like, man, offense. I'm going 18 exactly under.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
I'll go over.
Thomas to go over. I think I'm also going to go under. I think as it projects, it'll probably It looks to 18 or 19. It's interesting that Colton took over on 6.5 offensive linemen. He took over on 5.5 receivers, but now he's taking under on 18.5 wide offensive players. But I'm taking over on the corners, and so dang I think it. Those
off- You're right. How many offensive linemen was it again?
6.5. So you're saying there's going to be 7 offensive linemen. There's going to be 5 quarterbacks. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So there's going to be 12 right there. And then there's going to be
6 wide receivers.
And then there's going to be 6 wide receivers, which is 18. It. And then you have your tight end, Kyle Pitts. And then you have your running backs.
I'm changing my mind.
We're going over. I made a mistake. It's over.
It's over. It's total
total defensive players, 13.5 over under. Again, this is even odds here.
Under.
-112.
Going under.
Total defensive players?
Players, 13.5. I'm going under.
Well, yeah, we have to go under.
I know.
You just took the over.
Well, they give you a pretty wide gap. If you do the math here with me,
yeah, they
13
do.
Plus 18 is 18.5. You'd have 22 players. So you have a 10 players of a window on either side of this. So they've left you some room to play with there, but I'm still going under. So you guys are all under?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Perfect. Under.
All right. So now we're going to go to where I think we're going to fight a little bit more. This is kind of like the tiebreaker section.
Okay.
So we got the first wide receiver taken. You can take any receiver. Jamar Chase. Chase. I'll give the top 3 of them.
I already called him. Jamar Chase.
Okay, you got Jamar Chase. I get it. Okay, so Jamar Chase is the heavy favorite with -950. Jalen Waddle's +850. Devontae Smith is +900. So I will also go Chase. Colton's going Chase. Thomas?
Devontae Smith. Going with Devontae.
Devontae Smith. Interesting, Thomas.
Yeah. Are you sure? Which Devontae are you going for?
Smith. Devontae Smith, Alabama. Heisman. Which
Devontae? You just said Devontae, so I was confused, but now
I'm all done. Right. Okay, I'm glad that you figured that out.
You know, one of the 3 that David gave his options, that Devontae.
To be honest, I did not hear the options.
No, I didn't give options. I just gave top 3 odds. You could have picked whoever you wanted, Thomas. If you want to switch it around, go right ahead.
Okay, are we doing first running back?
No, we're not, because I think we all agree it's going to be Najee Harris probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I tried to avoid some of the obvious ones. Tight end now. Who's the first tight end going to be?
Kyle.
I'm just kidding.
I see what you did there.
I'm glad you saw it. All right. So
Tommy Tremble. That's who I'm picking.
First defensive lineman. This includes, well, let's see. Yes, this is just defensive lineman. I'll tell you the odds on some of these guys. Quiddy Pay is -105. Jalen Phillips is +100. Barmore is +500. Gregory Rousseau is +2,400. And Jason Owe is +3,400. I got Quiddy Pay.
Yeah, it's got to be Quiddy Pay.
Yeah, Quiddy Pay.
Well, that was a waste. And you know, the funny thing is, that wasn't on our list. But I'm like, oh, that might be one that we differ on. So I'll add that one in real quick.
Dude, well, you just – Quiddy Pay is like a sure – well, not necessarily a sure thing, but he was a sure thing in college. All these other guys that you list are like projecting guys. You know what I mean?
Well, Phillips is pretty dang good, but his injury.
Yeah.
And so – but, yeah, so here we go. Now, first defensive player taken. So this is actually not a bet on FanDuel, but I'm going to tell you where some of these guys are projected. The highest defenders are projected to go. So we're looking for who the first defender is going to be.
J.C. Horn.
See, we have Micah Parsons, over-under is 12.5. Caleb Farley's is 28.5. Quiddy Pay's is 16.5. Phillips is 18.5. Horn is 12.5. And Patrick Surtain is 10.5. So, Colton, you think it's J.C. Horn.
J.C. Horn. He's going to be first corner taken over Patrick Surtain.
And I'm actually going to go Surtain.
You know, I'm going to go with Quiddy Payne again. Quiddy Payne.
Tom, I'm glad we all differ on one finally. Mm-hmm. That's what I was hoping would happen earlier.
Oh, wait. No, Davey copied me on the receivers. Why didn't you go Jalen Waddle? Why didn't you rep your boy?
Because I'm not the one drafting in, on Thursday.
And if you were drafting, you'd be drafting Ja'Marr Chase. Okay.
I would not. All right. So now I want to add to this one.
Colton.
I want you guys to tell me what pick the first defender will be taken. Because it's a crazy draft. I just want to lay this out for a second. Because we got almost a surefire thing. We got Trevor Lawrence. Almost a surefire thing, Zach Wilson. Almost a surefire thing, a quarterback at three. For the Falcons, it looks very likely someone's going to trade up at quarterback, or it's going to be
Kyle Pitts.
For the Bengals, it's either going to be a receiver or an offensive lineman. At six, I think it's the Dolphins at six.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's either going to be Kyle Pitts or a receiver, more than likely, from what it sounds like. Then it's the Lions at seven.
Yep.
Oh, no, it's the Panthers at seven, right?
No, Panthers are eight.
Okay, so I was right with the Lions. The Lions are seven. The Lions are going to go either wide receiver or offensive lineman. The Panthers, this isn't any guarantees. This is just kind of the buzz and the consensus. Some of these teams could take a defender. But this is kind of the main buzz. The Panthers are where it gets interesting a little bit. But if there's any offensive lineman available, the Panthers have to take either Slater
And there's lots of talk about the Panthers trading up out of their spot there.
Yeah, and if they trade out, then it'll be someone else. But then the Broncos are where it gets interesting again if there's no quarterbacks available, maybe being the Broncos. And then you have Dallas, who knows what they're going to do.
But
so it's kind of interesting that we may end up, if it goes right, we may end up going. It wouldn't be crazy to paint a world where we go 10 picks without a defensive player.
I'm going to go pick number 9, but it won't be the Broncos. Okay, the Broncos are trading up to 4.
And so then the Falcons will pick at 9.
No, they might trade back again.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know who it's going to be, but I just 9.
Okay.
Feels like a good spot.
Mm.
And it's going to be J.C. Horn because someone's got to get over the Cowboys.
There we go. Cool. I'm going to go pick number 11, New York Giants. I think they're going to get an
terrible
edge rusher.
No, I'm just kidding.
They're going to get Quiddy. They're going to get an edge rusher for Joe Judge, and that's going to be Quiddy Pay, I think. So
I think I'm trying to decide here. Do I want to cover my bets and say, because if it's the way the board goes now, I think it's Sertan at 10 to the Cowboys. But I could see, I think 9's a good bet, Colton, because I do think, I know that you as a family-related type Bronco fan, I know you're not a Bronco fan, but you have some family investments in the Broncos. With some family members of Bronco fans. I know that you would probably love for them to go take some splashy move, but I don't think it's crazy to sit there and say that if the quarterbacks are gone, that Vic Fangio and company goes out there and adds to that elite defense. I don't think that's a crazy thing. They don't need any wide receivers. More than likely the offensive tackles are gone, and they go out there and add to that defense a little bit more. But also, if the Falcons trade down, the Falcons need some dang defense. So the Falcons could take some defense. And then, like you said, someone could trade up. And so I don't know if I want to go double down on that Sertan situation or if I want to kind of go a little mixer. And I think
you're going to
double down.
You're picking number 10.
And I'm going number 10. How did you know I was going to go number 10? I tried to sell it like I was going to go number 9.
Because I could smell that stink that was coming from all the way through the phone. So,
all right. So I'll actually open this up to you guys because we got a little bit more time than I thought we were going to have. So if I can get to where I was looking, can I interest you guys in the number 1 overall pick betting anyone besides Trevor Lawrence?
No.
Well, Trevor Lawrence only has minus 50,000 odds, and so if I get if I and I'm no better, but I think if that means that we have to bet $50,000 to make the $100.
Yep, I think so too.
And so I was just trying to sell that there. Well, what about anyone besides Zach Wilson at number two?
You know, something's got to be wrong. You guys heard my take on Zach Wilson. It is the Jets. They do have – it's still Joe Douglas, unless I'm mistaken. So they probably will end up going Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
Fields is better, though. So
I would say, yeah, I like Fields a lot, but it's not about what I like. It's about what I think the Jets will do, and I think they'll pick Wilson. But I'm with you on that one, Colton.
Yeah, they have minus 5,000 odds on Zach Wilson. So
I don't have $5,000.
Awesome. Here's where it gets interesting. The third overall pick. And in light of some recent rumors, they have Mac Jones as the favorite at minus 340, followed by Trey Lance at plus 300 and Justin Fields at plus 650.
It screams smokescreen to me. Justin Fields is the guy at three.
I agree with you too, Colton. He's got to be. I don't know though, because then you have apparently Trey Lance and his family's visiting with Shanahan, and I don't know. But then you hear about these things about Mac Jones that.
Thomas, I've heard it all. I've gone through it, and I've just called bullcrap. But actually, I'm changing my mind a little bit here. It can't be Mac Jones. Like, that would be insane, but it probably is.
Yeah. I don't know.
So are you locking in Jones, Colton?
You know, I'm going to pull a wild card here and mention the guy that I didn't mention and just say, I hope for their sake that it's Trey Lance. Because I don't like the 49ers.
So you're going Trey Lance.
Yep, that's what I'm
now
going.
Now that we've gone through it, are you sure you don't want to explore the pitch route and talk about it could be pitch?
I couldn't make up my mind. Nobody knows. Your guess is as good as mine.
All right, so Colton stole my thunder a little bit. I was going to go Trey Lance. I've thought about this way too much. But ultimately, I also thought smokescreen. I don't think they're taking Mac Jones. I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't understand. If you have Mac Jones, and everyone's talking about Mac, all these Mac Jones truthers are out there talking about Mac Jones and how good he would look. If Kyle Shanahan loves Mac Jones, then Mac Jones must be great. Well, what about Jimmy Garoppolo?
No, listen to this. What if it's Kyle Pitts?
If it's Kyle Pitts,
how crazy would that
great
be?
Dude. George Kittle and Kyle Pitts, it would be more valuable to a team than any quarterback.
Right.
I'll put that the record. Kyle Pitts and George Kittle with Jimmy Garoppolo. I'll take that all day, every day.
They're just dragging Jimmy Garoppolo through the mud. And then they're just going to go out and draft Kyle Pitts, and everyone's going to crap their pants.
So you're going to go Kyle Pitts. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I'm sticking with Trey Lance. But that would be crazy, and I would love it.
Okay. But all the appeal with Mac Jones is that he's ready to play, right? All this stuff is that he's ready to play. He's ready to go. So why would Shanahan move up that early and give up that much draft capital for a guy that's supposedly ready to play, for a guy that he's going to end up sitting a year behind Jimmy Garoppolo?
Right.
I think if you're doing this type of thing, you're swinging for the fences. I just got to believe it. And so I think he's going Justin Fields or Trey Lance. Now, I've thought for the longest time until earlier today that it was Justin Fields. Why is there a smokescreen? Are they trying to convince the Jets not to go Justin Fields? Because they might know something we don't know, but it seems like the Jets have been locked in on Zach Wilson for a month.
I was just going to ask you guys, what do you guys think if, like, Jets take Fields and Wilson sit at three, then what?
If the Jets take Fields, then it's going to be chaos.
It's chaos at that point.
And I'm going to be eating wings in front of my TV, and I'm not going to move the whole
time. And I'm going to be watching those middle school students hit the dance floor. It's a little creepier out of my mouth than it was in my head. I'm going to be supervising, of course. Nothing creepy.
Nothing creepy. Okay, moving on.
All right, Thomas, go ahead. I lock in Lance.
I'm going to go. Oh, man, I don't know. All these. Now I know what Colton was facing just a few minutes ago. All these decisions and scenarios that could happen.
You
want to
break down Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance for us?
No, not really. I'll go Justin Fields, number three, if he's sitting there, I think.
All right.
I don't buy that. I'll tell you one thing for sure. I think. I could be wrong. But I think the Mac Jones thing, I don't buy it at all. I have no idea. Like you said, David, the whole idea of them going to number three was to potentially get a guy that isn't quite ready yet and, you know, sit a year behind Garoppolo, which makes sense. Totally makes sense with the Trey Lance thing. But, you know, I'm going to just go with Justin Fields.
Best and one more time, Zach Wilson, no disrespect. No disrespect. I don't want you to go to the Jets. Okay? Okay.
I also don't want you to go to the Jets, Zach Wilson. It's less about you and more about trying to protect your career. To be honest, I don't want you to end up being a bust. Mm. Okay, so I'm going to throw another one at you guys real quick. Number four overall. We have Kyle Pitts as the favorite at -135. Trey Lance is +250. Fields is +270. I'm locking in Fields. If they're gonna take Lance at three, then someone's gonna be trading up for Fields.
Broncos four, taking Fields. I'll
but then how are they gonna get Teddy B?
I'll lock in Justin Fields to the Broncos at four. Ba ba bam.
But then how are they gonna get Teddy B? Like, you already locked in.
Not gonna get Teddy B.
Exactly. Then Teddy Bridgewater's done being a starter in the NFL, and you're like, no, the Denver Broncos. That's it. Getting posted on the board tonight.
Or the New England Patriots, or the Saints. They need a quarterback. He worked out good for him there.
Fair. All right, Thomas, what do you think? That's right.
I just love the silence, just like that. Okay.
I lost you guys. You guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, great, Thomas. You just ruined the podcast.
Sorry.
Just kidding, Thomas. Go ahead and tell us who we're going to take up for.
Kyle Pitts. I don't know how you – if he's there, I don't know how you do not take a once-in-a-lifetime.
Because someone comes up and gets a quarterback. Okay, we're – moving okay. On.
Moving on.
Okay, whatever, I guess. Thomas, I want you to give one quick explanation. You were not here for our quarterback show. And so I'm going to read you guys this insanity called Thomas's top eight quarterbacks real quick. We're just going to do a read through, and then I want you to explain yourself a bit.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm sure we all want you to explain yourself. Then we got number one, Justin Fields. Number two, Trevor Lawrence. Number three, Zach Wilson. Number four, Kellen Mond. Number five, Trey Lance. Number six, Mac Jones. Number seven, Sam Ellinger. And number eight, Shane Buechele. Thomas, why?
It's Buechele.
I'm sorry, Thomas.
Shane Buechele.
Shane Buechele.
All right.
Now Shane Buechele, who's a listener to the podcast, is never going to listen again.
Okay, here's
why is Justin Fields number one, Thomas?
Why is Justin Fields number one? You know, listeners, I do not blame you if you never listen to any of my opinions on this podcast.
That's a great way to go sell yourself, Thomas.
But
by the way, I don't blame you if you realize that I have no idea what I'm talking
about. But here's the kicker. Is last year's draft, I was actually pretty accurate in a lot of things. And I think Trevor Lawrence.
Did you do the water bet last year?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But hey, I got Justin Herbert right. Justin Jefferson.
Oh, you are right about that, actually.
The things that actually matter, not the water bet, which doesn't matter.
Well, it didn't matter to us because we didn't get the
water.
You
know, it has more to do not with anything against Trevor Lawrence. He's a great prospect. I'm sure he's a great person. It just has more to do with the it factor that I see in Justin Fields that I think he's going to be a star in the NFL. And so I'm going with similar to how I was mocked and made fun of with the Justin Herbert pick last year. I'm going with Justin Fields.
I don't know what you're talking about with the Justin Herbert pick, because I think both Davey and I had him rated ahead of Tua, but I think you had him rated after Tua.
I thought that we were talking about Joe Burrow here. Joe Burrow being the number one that I did not see as the number one and saw Justin Herbert as the number one. But I don't know. So long ago, and I've said so many crazy things on this podcast, you could be right. But guys, I will say this. I will not be able to view the draft this Thursday. David won't be. And so I have a plan. What about you, Colton? What if you do this? What if you, every pick, you just text us in the group text that...
Deal.
He's just going to be lying the whole time. Just Zach Wilson gets picked first overall. But all right, guys. Well, I think that is the conclusion of this episode. Hopefully, when we return and we come back together, we'll have a lot of content, a lot of breakdown of what just happened. We're expecting some craziness. But Colton, do you think it's about time to end this thing?
Yeah, just end it.
Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.